Any chance I get on the airlines to volunteer my seat to give up to get a gift card with cash value on it, I give it up for this. I have looked at prices across the world and it's a fraction of what we pay. Fraction. I travel to Europe and to India quite frequently, and every time I go, I look and I try to find what's the latest, and it's amazing the cost difference. It really is.
You're like, I'm going to bring an extra suitcase.
If insulin didn't have to be refrigerated, I would. I would take a whole suitcase. To your question about do people shortcut, absolutely. I mean, they'll reuse the canisters. They'll reuse anything they can that doesn't cause an infection in the body.
That's Doug Adams, a North Logan father of a college freshman with type 1 diabetes. For his son, Brig, insulin is his lifeline. Brig's pancreas no longer produce insulin, a hormone necessary for absorbing glucose from the bloodstream that the body cells use as energy. Without insulin, he would die. And without being covered under his parents' health insurance plan, Brig wouldn't be able to afford his medications or college.
Before the out-of-pocket max, he wouldn't be able to go to college. He's got scholarships, but the pure cost of all of that. When we order supplies for the pump, we'll spend probably, just on the insulin order itself, about $400 for a 90-day supply of insulin. That's just the insulin. That's not the tools to go with it.
Brig can stay on his parents' health insurance plan until age 26, which makes acquiring his supply of insulin and testing equipment easier to manage for the time being. But the rising cost of drugs like insulin has many diabetics rationing medication or skipping doses entirely. Brad Chambers, an internist at Intermountain's Budge Clinic, knows a number of his patients, diabetic and those with other chronic conditions, make annual treks to Mexico or Canada to purchase the medications they need because they can't afford them here at home. Chambers can sometimes see the cost of prescription drugs reflected in his patients' charts.
Towards the end of the year, probably from here on out, we will see patients' compliance start to fall off, especially as Medicare patients get into what's called the donut hole. And now those costs for medication are bumped back to the patient. We see patients not taking what they're prescribed or trying to take every other day dosing or cut things in half because they're worried about cost.
But Chambers says the biggest cost burden appears to be for his diabetic patients.
We'll see controlled numbers throughout the first half of the year, and as we get into this latter half, we see what's called a hemoglobin A1C start to rise. Blood sugars are uncontrolled, and that's because patients are either not taking or trying to cut down on the units of insulin that they take per day, mainly because they're trying to get their insulin to last longer than it really should.
Over time, uncontrolled blood sugar levels can result in serious health complications, such as blindness, end-stage kidney disease, the amputation of limbs, and even death.
My name is David Mitchell. I am a cancer patient, and I am president of Patients for Affordable Drugs. A huge proportion of the stories that we have collected, we have 14,000 patient stories, are about insulin. And we have patients who have died recently while running GoFundMe campaigns to be able to afford their insulin. The fact is that there are three insulin manufacturers who now have control of the insulin market, and they have increased the price of insulin 300% in the past 10 years.
David Mitchell's nonprofit has one aim: to lower the cost of prescription drugs in the United States. He suggests three legislative pathways to cut costs long-term: allow Medicare to negotiate directly with drug companies, greater transparency and net price disclosure by pharmacy benefit managers to ensure that savings actually get passed down to consumers, and lastly, reforming the country's patent laws, which Mitchell says can stymie competition when they are abused by drug companies blocking generic drugs from coming to market.
There are a variety of tactics that the drug companies use to block generic competition, extend their monopoly beyond the period of time intended under law, and keep prices incredibly high. They patent the instructions, or they patent the food coloring in the capsule or tablet, or they change the dose from twice a day to once a day and call it a whole new drug. Another tactic is they enter into pay-for-delay deals pay a generic drug manufacturer not to bring the generic to market, and the generic manufacturer gets a piece of the monopoly pricing power that the brand company enjoys.
Utah Representative Norm Thurston, a trained economist, agrees that much of the problem with rising drug prices stems back to the nation's patent laws, which he says historically rewarded innovation but break down with 21st century problems like pharmaceutical pricing. One piece of legislation he proposed last year to curb costs at the state level was to allow the importation of drugs to Utah from Canada.
So I've been part of a national working group on how states can address pharmacy costs, and that was one of the recommendations that came out of the work group, and it seemed to be the most timely and the most promising.
While the bill ultimately failed to pass, the state did agree to move forward with a study to determine if the measure could be implemented safely and work to lower costs. Results of the study are due back in October.
It's a lot easier to help people get on board when you have a study and results and recommendations that are backed up with information. At the end of the day, if we have a study that shows there is a path forward and this is what you can do and it can be safe, it becomes a lot more difficult for people to argue that it's a bad idea.
Thurston is exploring additional measures before the next legislative session, including bills that increase transparency in drug prices and the notice given by pharmaceutical companies before they raise rates.
If a pharmaceutical company is going to raise the price of a drug, they have to give notice, and maybe even along with that justification. You have to give us notice that you intend to raise the price of a drug, and you have to tell us why. At least we would know what's going to happen and some clue as to why it's going to happen.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
Support for Diagnosed has been provided in part by our members and Intermountain Budge Clinic, a multi-specialty clinic offering care for every member of your family in one location. Details at budgeclinic.org.